It's Politics with Amy Walter on The Takeaway, and we end the hour talking about the Constitution. It's supposed to be a unifying document, but at times it feels more like a wedge.
Senate stands ready to fulfill its constitutional role.
To shred the Constitution.
Taking this action because of great concern for our country and our Constitution.
And every one of us United States senators has taken an oath to support that Constitution.
Read the Constitution.
This Supreme Court confirmation would mean the destruction of the Constitution.
We are now in a constitutional crisis.
The president has decided to be in defiance of the Constitution, to deface it.
Two professors at Columbia Law School set out to see if this was always the case or was a more recent phenomenon. I spoke with one of them, Professor David Posen, earlier this summer.
The data that we've amassed suggests that in most of the 20th century, at least, levels of constitutional division were lower than they had been since 1980 or so, and that they started to skyrocket around that time. So while certainly there were ideological and partisan fights about the meaning of the Constitution throughout that period, people tended to talk in fairly similar ways when having those disagreements, and that kept them within a certain range. So that when we use machines to guess who's speaking, a liberal or a conservative, a Democrat or a Republican, throughout the 20th century, the machine finds that pretty hard to do for most of the early and middle part of the century, and then it gets easier and easier starting around 1980.
Yeah, explain what your machine does and what it looks for in this algorithm.
So the machine basically trains itself on a subset of all of the remarks made in the congressional record over the time period we're studying, which is from 1873 to 2016. And the machine learns what certain sorts of speakers tend to sound like from that subset of the data, and then tries to predict, based on what it learns, who's speaking for the rest of the data. The easier the machine finds it to predict who's speaking, the more polarized are the two different groups it's looking at. So that if the machine is highly accurate in guessing whether a Democrat or Republican is speaking based solely on the text of the remarks, no other clues, then that's a strong sign that Democrats and Republicans speak very differently. And we look specifically at instances when members of Congress are talking about the Constitution. And when they're talking about the Constitution, this result emerges where they sound fairly similar for much of the 20th century. And then starting around 1980, the two parties grow further and further apart. And this is for remarks that sometimes are quite short, actually. So that level of predictive accuracy is very high.
So what are Republicans saying most often, and what are Democrats saying most often when it comes to the Constitution?
The machine doesn't tell us that. The machine learns and then predicts in ways that are somewhat opaque to the researcher. So then we separately try to investigate what is it that is driving this polarization of constitutional rhetoric. And we looked at phrases that are used more or less frequently by one of the other parties. And we looked at terms in the Constitution as well. So, for example, we developed a measure of which terms that appear in the text of the Constitution are most strongly associated with one party or the other. And when we did that, we found that a lot of terms associated with the original Constitution from the late 1700s are primarily associated with the Republican Party. So the Republican Party is appealing to the specific provisions of the original Constitution, and they're also referring to the Founding Fathers by name. Democrats, in contrast, are referring to the post-Civil War amendments more frequently, speaking about themes of civil rights, voting rights, and equality, as well as federal government power. Republicans are talking about individual liberty and limits on national power, themes of state autonomy, much more often.
So what does this tell us, then, your study, about the likelihood that we are going to be able to, both as individual citizens and then the bodies that represent us as citizens, can find a middle ground somewhere? Or are we just, do you think, going to be continuing to fight over these two visions of the Constitution and we kind of just sit in the stalemate?
I don't think there's great cause for optimism coming out of the these findings, at least. There is a strain of argument in legal thought going back many years that the Constitution is a source and symbol of national unity, and that when we talk about the Constitution, we transcend our partisan selves. It's the language of public value. It disciplines political passions and disagreements. And all of that lofty way of thinking about what the Constitution can do for us as far as overcoming polarization, all of it's belied by what we find, in that we find that when people talk about the Constitution in Congress, if anything, they've been more polarized in recent years. So at a minimum, it seems we can say that adverting to the language of the Constitution isn't going to save us, isn't going to allow us to overcome partisanship. Instead, the two camps seem to have settled into their constitutional positions.
You had said earlier not particularly optimistic about where things go from here, David, but is there any portion of this that you can help us find sort of a glass half full?
There is one fragment of a finding in the study that may be more optimistic, at least for those who would like to reduce polarization. And that is, while we find that on aggregate, when members of Congress invoke the Constitution, it leads to more polarization than when they don't, when members of Congress talk about the Constitution in depth in any given speech on the floor of Congress, then they actually start to sound more similar to each other, regardless of what party they're from. So when they're referencing multiple terms from the Constitution in any given remark, and it seems like they're being more serious rather than superficial debaters about the Constitution's meaning, polarization actually ebbs. And so that might suggest that to the extent that members of Congress, you know, would become more disciplined and serious in the way they talk about the Constitution, we would get more productive conversations. I might note here that today, members of Congress are more likely to mention the Constitution in any given speech on the floor of Congress than they were in the past, but they're also more likely to do so in a shallow manner, referencing it very quickly and then moving right on and not coming back to it. So the Constitution, it seems to be used as a slogan many times on the floor of Congress, and if that tends to be destructive, there is perhaps a silver lining insofar as more serious discussions about the Constitution create better outcomes in terms of polarization.
David Posen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
David Posen is a professor of law at Columbia Law School.